Hey, this is a Schmoovecast. My name is Leah. You'll notice I didn't start with that fancy glass of wine song by the New Autonomous Folk Singers. It's because I think at the end of the show I'm going to play the whole song because I've never played it all the way through. I play bits and pieces every week. I want you to hear the whole thing. So I told you last week I was going to do an Oscar show, and you know what? I really don't care. I don't care who wins the Oscar. I love for Brokeback Mountain to win because it's amazing, but I haven't seen them all, and all I know is what I've heard. I've heard differing opinions on the movie. I almost said Flash, on the movie Crash, which I'd kind of like to see. I mean, I would like to see it. What am I saying? Kind of. I would like to see it. It sounds amazing, but I've heard differing opinions on it, but I haven't seen it myself, so I can't really say that. It's better than the other movies because have no basis. And I never did see Capote. I was supposed to see it. I think I was supposed to see it with my ex-boyfriend. I was supposed to see it with somebody, and I never did. And I love Philip Seymour Hoffman, but I gotta tell you, I'm tired of this whole imitating dead celebrities thing that's going on. And of course, we all know that Ray Charles was still alive for part of the filming of that Ray movie, which I haven't seen. We all know Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash were still alive when Walk the Line started filming. However, it just seems to me it's trendier and trendier for people to do imitations of tragic famous celebrities than it, to me, Heath Ledger, I've never seen anything. I know he's been in like A Knight's Tale, and he's been in 10 Things I Hate About You, I think. And other movies. I mean, I'm not trying to marginalize his career, but the only thing I have ever seen Heath Ledger in is Brokeback Mountain. And it's amazing to me because you look at Jack and you look at Ennis, and it's fantastic because Jack is a little more accepted, at least by his mother. His father's kind of taciturn. I think he accepts it through clenched teeth that the fact that his son is gay. And I'm going to go on record as saying Brokeback Mountain, it's not about two people who are together and they end up in love because they're together for so long. I think coming into it, the two were gay already, okay? That's what I believe. Okay? I mean, if you see the beginning of it, and I'm not giving any spoilers because this all happens in the first few minutes, you see Jack and Ennis arrive at the ranch foreman's trailer. And if that's not a I want to fuck you look, then I don't know what is, kids, because that that look, Jack is like undressing Ennis with his eyes. So I truly believe that going into this they were gay. However, having different backgrounds, Jack's family a little more accepting of his homosexuality. His mother is just flat out, you don't know this. Well, shit, I'm giving away all kinds of spoilers about this movie. So if you haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, go see it and then listen to this podcast because I'm giving away a lot. So at the end, when Ennis meets Jack's parents, his mother seems to be very accepting of it. His father doesn't say a word, doesn't even really acknowledge Ennis that much. But I think he kind of accepts it through clenched teeth, but he's not comfortable talking about it, as probably was the case back then, I mean, right or wrong, that was the case. Anyway. And then Ennis's dad, as you may recall if you've seen the movie, and if you haven't, again, another spoiler, Ennis's dad takes his sons, including Ennis, being one of Ennis's dad's sons, of course, to see the carcass of a man who was believed to be gay and was essentially lynched. And, so he knows, he gets the feeling from his dad, it's not okay for you to feel this way. So Jay's the more, Jay, Jack Twist is the more flamboyant of the two. And by that, I don't mean he's, Freddie Mercury flamboyant, Carmen Miranda flamboyant. I mean, he's a little more, he feels more accepted. He, you know. so he's a little more open about it, versus Ennis has to keep it underground, and his acting is just very through, you know, clenched jaw, mumbles. He does a lot of mumbling. He does a lot of, you know, not a whole lot of emotion there. There are a few parts where he shows emotion, and it's just like, it gets you. It really gets you, because he's just so taciturn the whole time, and so, you know, And then when he does show emotion, you're just like, yes! You know, it just gets you. It just, anyway, so Ang Lee, I think you've totally redeemed yourself of making the Hulk. If you hear Squeaky in the background, it's because Flashy's over. Flashy came over last night. He spent the night again, and he's over here eating his hamburger. And it's, you know, a squeaky hamburger. He loves it. So that's Flashy. Denny's downstairs looking out the window, watching everybody walk by and say hello. So anyway, yes, I think that Heath Ledger, getting back to the point, you're going to have to get that, Denny, Flashy. I mean, his hamburger fell on the floor. Get it. Get the hamburger. Get it, Flashy. If you want to know what Flashy looks like when he's eating a greenie, you need to download the video on my website. If you have iTunes, it should have come through. But if not, go to www.schmoovenet, S-C-H-M-O-O-V-E-N-E-T. Oh, and here comes Danny. Okay, so, of course, Flashy drops the toy he's been playing with because Danny is such an asshole about toys sometimes. So, getting back to Heath Ledger's acting for the 10th time, he's just so, you know, he's such a great actor. He acts by just not doing so much. He's not... Okay. Anyway, so Brokeback Mountain, amazing movie. Ang Lee, nice job. So, hi, Danny. You want to come up here? Come on up. We're upstairs. Flash out. I'm on my bed in my room. My bedroom. And Danny's here panting for some reason. No, you can't have that. He's trying to get to the bowl. I ate some strawberries with angel food cake and light whipped cream. And he's trying to get to that. And he doesn't need to. So yeah, I haven't seen all the Oscar-nominated movies. The only ones I have seen are, let's see, I've seen Good Night and Good Luck. I've seen Walk the Line. Was that a nominated? Because I thought Capote was nominated. And in fact, I think I talked about it in a previous podcast that that Capote's going to get. But anyway, but I don't even think it was nominated, so I gotta find it here on this website. Let's see. Come on! So I saw Walk the Line. I saw Good Night, Good Luck, although I fell asleep, which is not a reflection on the movie. It's more a reflection on how tired I was when I saw it. I was incredibly sleepy, and I got talked into it by a friend. I mean, I wanted to see it. Okay, Capote was nominated for Best Motion Picture of the Year. Okay, why was I thinking it wasn't? Oh, Walk the Line wasn't nominated. That's what I knew. It was one of those two. Capote was, Walk the Line wasn't. Whatever. So we got Best Picture of the Year. Brokeback Mountain I have seen. Capote not seen. Crash not seen. Good Night and Good Luck I have seen. And Munich, which I don't. There was. I mean, Munich was promoted heavily, but I haven't seen much of it since. I don't know. But anyway, I'm hoping Brokeback Mountain wins, but I'm just, call me a bandwagon jumper, but honestly, that movie was beautiful. I mean, if I ever find love like that, oh, okay, so, let's get back to this. Let's see. I haven't seen any of the short films, sorry, it's just hard to see short films, because they don't really get big releases, you know, they aren't. I mean, occasionally they'll have short film days at our local independent theater, but I don't really get to see them because I don't get over there as much as I'd like. Okay, so let's see right here. Adapted screenplay. We got Brokeback Mountain, which I understand is a short story. I don't understand that. I know this. It's a short story, but I'm not even going to go into that. Screenplay, blah, blah, blah. I haven't seen King Kong yet, so I can't tell you about it for sound mixing, sound editing, action. You know King Kong's going to win. King Kong's going to friggin' win for anything it's nominated for, because it's just so amazing looking, is all I've heard about it. Anyway. They've made like 20. Uh-oh, Flash is growling. When an 11-pound dog growls, you gotta watch out, because that bitch means business. Come here, Flashy. Come on. Just go around Denny. Denny's blocking his way. Come here. My room is filthy. So, let's see. Best music, blah, blah, blah. Foreign language film. All I have heard is how amazing Paradise Now is and how amazing Tootsie, I can't pronounce it. I keep hearing about that on public radio. I think it's public radio's favorite movie ever. I've been talking to Gavin, blah, 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 and da-da-da. Can't remember their names. Sorry. I know I'm totally trivializing all this, but what is a good movie about, you know, violence and gangs and whatever? So, let's see, film editing, blah, blah, blah. Documentary short subject would be interesting. I love documentaries. I don't see enough. Darwin's Nightmare I haven't seen, but it sounds interesting. It really does. Darwin's Nightmare about the Nile, is it the Nile trout? That gets dumped in a lake in Rwanda. And they overtake all the everything in that lake, and it just, like, becomes, anyway, what's interesting, I won't get into it because I haven't seen it, so I can't really talk about it knowingly, knowledgeably. Flash is sitting like a meerkat again. Flashy meerkat. Okay, sorry, I'm going to stop talking about the dogs. I've heard it's good. And the guy who went to film it went filming it because he was going to make a movie about Rwanda. And, you know, got into this instead, which is interesting. I'm sure it's, you know, got its allegories and its symbolisms and stuff. Murder Ball was good. March of the Penguins was good. I saw it. I've seen it twice, once on an airplane and once in the theater. But I really liked Murder Ball. And it's actually aired on television recently. Like, I saw an ad for it on television the other night. I want to say it was whatever channel, you hear dogs fighting in the background? They're play fighting, but they're still fighting. Flash is nipping at Denny's mouth, and Denny just growls at him and kicks him away. Anyway. Dog fights. Anyway, so sorry, I wanted you guys to hear the dog fights, because it's cute. And Denny, Flash, no! That's not cool. Flashy started humping Denny, and we don't do that in this house. We'd not. I am the dominant one here. Bitches. So, just know your role, okay? Stop it. Y'all can play, and y'all can have fun, but don't be humping each other. I don't go with that. Little 11-pound Flashy was humping 60-pound Denny. It's adorable. Now somebody farted. One of y'all dogs farted. It's anyway. Murder Ball was on some TV channel, and I want to say it's whatever channel Dog the Bounty Hunter's on. So it seems like it was on after Dog one night this week. Anyway, Murder Ball is excellent. I love it. Although, if you say it on TV, I'm going to just guess. This is just a hunch. They cut out all the cursing. And that's, you know, there is no story without the cursing. Anyway, cinematography, blah, 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 blah. Animated film of the year. Howl's Moving Castle, The Corpse Bride, and Wallace and Gromit, etc. I've heard Howl's Moving Castle's beautiful, but the story sounds kind of messed up a little bit to me, but, you know, then again. Corpse Bride I did see because a friend of mine, well, I am too, we're both big Johnny Depp fans, her more so than me, so she wanted to see it. We expected nothing special, but I kind of liked it. Kind of like The Corpse Bride, but I don't think it's, you know, Oscar caliber. Let's see, Wallace and Gromit. I heard the story wasn't so great, but that the animation's actually, it's actually, well, I mean, so is Corpse Bride, let's be honest. They're both stop-action movies, but, which is always amazing. You have to be so patient to do that, I'm guessing. Okay, best performance by actress in a supporting role. I swear to God, if I hear one more thing about how great Amy Adams is in Junebug, I'm just going to scream. And I'm sure she's great. I'm sure she's wonderful. But every time they talk about that, they talk about they play that one scene where she says, "My favorite animal's a meerkat. So-and-so gave me a charm bracelet with all meerkats on it." And she asks her where she was born. She says, "I was born in Japan." And she goes, "Oh, you were not," or something like that. I haven't even seen the movie, but I keep hearing, this is the only line of dialogue that I've heard from this movie. Oh, no, there's one other line. It's when Amy Adams, this character, is getting ready to go give birth. She's into labor. She's going to give birth. She's like, it's a new beginning. It's better than Christmas," or something like that. So, I mean, I don't know. Oh, Flashy's got the hamburger again. Of course, Denny has to go get Denny. Don't be an asshole. Denny doesn't like when Flashy plays with his toys, but Denny's just gonna have to learn to live with it. Denny. Okay. So, yeah, I wasn't. Michelle Williams was fine in Brokeback Mountain, but I wouldn't say she was great. You know, except for that Jack Twist. Jack Nasty! Okay. Performance by an actress in a leading role. I have not seen anything except Walk the Line, so I can't judge. Reese Witherspoon was fine. I had no complaints, but she, you know. I never saw Miss Henderson Presents, but oh my gosh, I would love to. And then, oh, no, I'm gonna pick Felicity Huffman for Transamerica because you know I love the trans. I really do. So I'm gonna vote for the lady who played a trans. I'm always gonna go for the transy. Tranny. Whatever. Performance by an actor in a lead role, a supporting role. A supporting role. You know, Matt Dillon should get it just for the fact that he is Matt Dillon. Oh, now Flashy's eating Denny's dog food. Denny is not going to stand for that. It makes me so mad. Denny is just such a dick to Flashy sometimes. I mean, they get along and they play and they have fun and they love each other, but he's just like, it's a pissing contest with Flash all the time. I don't know, that's the nature of dogs. I mean, don't tell me about dogs, you know, because I know that's what dogs do. They gotta have alpha. Anyway. Best actor in a leading role. Terrence Howard. I'm gonna pick him. And yeah, I know I said that Heath Ledger is great and he's amazing. No, I'm not gonna pick Terrence Howard. You know why? Because I haven't seen Hustle and Flow, but I've heard he's amazing. So I'm gonna go with Heath Ledger, even though I love Joaquin Leaf Phoenix and his space campy goodness. I just don't wanna pick. I'm gonna pick Heath Ledger. I'm gonna say it's down between Heath Ledger and Terrence Howard. And I'm only picking those two because they were not imitating someone who lived. You know? I mean, maybe they were, but they weren't. They were playing fictional characters. They weren't in biopics. So, and the thing about Capote is I love the book In Cold Blood, even though I know how it ends, even though I know how they find the killers. I love the book In Cold Blood. It's a good book, but I mean, it's one of those stranger than fiction tales. So if you haven't read it, please do. Yes, Nan, please do. Okay, sorry. They've been showing on Logo, the GLBT station logo. They've been showing Tipping the Velvet, which is about lesbians in the turn of the century. Is it turn of the century? I don't know. I don't know my epics. I don't know my history. So, I'm going to say the 1800s sometime. Anyway, so one of the lesbians, Nan Astley, Nan, but that's her stage name. What's her real name in the movie? Anyway, Nan falls in love with Kitty. Kitty being a female drag performer who she plays a man. And Nan becomes her stage partner as well as her real life partner, but the first time they, you know, get it on, first time they make love, she says, "Kitty, may I touch you?" And Kitty says, "Oh yes, Nan, please do." And I love that. It's just so adorable. Anyway, Tipping the Velvet. Based on a book written by Sarah Waters. The book's good too. Sarah Waters has written three books, and they're all excellent. And they've all got lesbians, so. If you like lesbians, if you like novels, go for it. So I'm going to sit up. Hang on. You may hear some stuff. It's kind of half laying down. Ooh. Okay. So I'm sitting up now. Maybe you can hear me better. Maybe I can project more because I know I've been quiet this whole time. Okay. So. Crazy. Pardon me. I got into getting into jewelry making because I'm tired of knitting. I'm so tired of knitting. I just don't even know what to do with myself. Flashy, where are you going? Oh, you're going to get the hamburger. So done with knitting. So I decided to turn to jewelry making because a nice young lady at Crafty Night brought the night that I've proclaimed in public, I'm done with knitting. I'm so sick of it. She says, well, why don't you make a necklace? Here are some supplies. She gives me some beautiful kind of frosted glass beads from Lyon, France. And it's beautiful. So I make a necklace that night and I decide, you know what? I used to make necklace back in high school. Necklace. I used to make jewelry back in high school. I need to get back into that because I really enjoyed it all the time, always. So I wanted to get some supplies. I needed some wire and some pliers. And I didn't want to go to, let's just call it the craft superstore by my house. There's a craft superstore by my house as well as a home improvement store right by it. Superstore. Both superstores. So, anyway, I don't want to go to the craft superstore because it's just a little too girly for me. I mean, I'm being a female and I do have boobs and I ovulate and menstruate and all that biz. But I get tired of the craft superstore because it's so feminine. And you just walk in there and it's like the stank of potpourri just like bops you in the nose and like throws you down, steals your lunch money and kicks you in the head and runs away and then laughs at you. I mean, it's like just so overpowering, the scent of potpourri in the store. So I like to get my beads there because they don't sell beads at the home improvement superstore by my house, but I want to do some stuff with wire and I need pliers to work with the wire and I need wire also because the wire I've got is a little too thick for my purposes. So I go to the home improvement superstore, you know, where the end caps on the aisles have, the writing is clear. It's easy to read. It's big, you know, like block letters. So it's very easy to read versus the craft superstore where it's, everything's in this beautiful script and it's tiny and you have to get like right up on it to see what it says. At the home improvement superstore, it's like you can see it from miles away and you know where you're going. So I get there. I can't find the wire I want. And can't find the wire. I do find all kinds of wire, but I do get my pliers. And they come in a handy dandy little carrying case that says Husky. So I've got my Husky jewelry making tools. So since I can't find the wire I want, I end up going to the craft superstore where everything's girly and annoying. But so that's my week. But I mean, the thing is, I mean, just going into the hardware superstore, the home improvement superstore, it's like, oh, I just felt like a man. You know, it's like there's power tools and light switches and doorbells and, you know, plumbing supplies. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just like, and I'm not one of these who's all into the gender stereotypes. In fact, I find them quite annoying, but it was like, you know, it's like you want to just go and grow a penis and stick it into something, you know? It's like, so anyway, I mean, it's not in a Randy kind of way, more of a, I'm a man, I can do this, you know, kind of way. No, the home superstore does not turn me on. Just anyway, it's just so manly. It's all full of testosterone. Craft superstore just makes me want to, you know, put bows on things and tap dance and curl my hair and, you know, hold kittens and crank out babies. Oh, so here's another thing that you should know. Apparently, I'm now the official vibrator expert for everyone I know, which is hilarious. Because it's not like, I mean, I've just got no libido, as you people probably know. Actually, you probably don't know. I have almost no libido, which is, but it's like, I'm not going to name names. Although one of them, she would allow me, because she's been telling everybody. I didn't buy her. History. A few years ago, I had a party. One of those toy parties, you know, where they show you the items and you don't use them, but, you know, you sample them. And they pass them around. You know, it's in-home sex parties. Not sex parties, sex toy parties. So I had one a few years ago, and I bought so much stuff, God, it sounds so awful, that I ended up getting a free gift. A free gift which I have never used, because I already had, it was a gift pack, and I already had everything that was in it. I already had something similar to it, or exactly the same as it, so I didn't use it. I've been saving it, trying to give it to a friend, and no takers, interestingly enough. And no, they're not used, they're completely still in their package, mint in package, as you would say on eBay. So, still in their package. So I asked a friend of mine, she's like, well, I'm just going to need to go and get something. And I said, no. I've got one, never been used, from a party. It's really kind of cool looking too. I'm going to give you that. So I give her the package and she calls me and she says, I can't stop using this. So apparently, I have gotten her addicted, much like that Sex and the City episode where she gets the rabbit vibe. Pardon me, that was disgusting. So she enjoys it and is telling everybody. And let's see, the other one is another person I know. She decides she wants one. So I give my recommendations, you know, like I do. And she text messages me and she says, I did it! There was somebody to help me, and I got one. Thank you, you know. So, anyway, so I'm ushering these young ladies into the worlds of vibratordom. Into the world of battery-operated masturbation devices. Okay. So, I think we're going to end on that. I think there's nothing I can say to top that, you know. There's nothing I can say. So I'm just going to end it now. Actually, I'm not going to end it now because I'm going to play Glass of Wine by the New Autonomous Folk Singers because it's a good song. I think you need to hear the whole thing. So let's get to our wrap up. My website is www.schmoovenet, schmoovenet.com. Email address, comanche.red@gmail.com. Please email me. You know, I've only got one review on iTunes and it's so negative. It's so awful. Some 14-year-old or something left it. So please, you know, comment, email, whatever. Do what you gotta do. You know what? I didn't talk about Lachey Brothers. Drew Lachey winning. I didn't talk about Project Runway and how I'm starting to become a Santino fan. I mean, I guess of the three. Because you can see their designs online if you look hard enough. You're going to see the final four. Yes, that's right. There's final four do their show. Yes, that means Kara does her own show. And the reason why is because that episode where she's eliminated, it aired after Fashion Week, so she got to do her own little show. And as you may remember from last year, Austin Scarlett, who was in the final four, did a show. So anyway, so if you look online, you'll find that there, and Santino seems to be the only one who's like really trying. So maybe I like Santino after all. So anyway, goodbye. This is it. I'll talk about that all maybe next time. Don't let me forget. Bye. There's many things I've wondered and many things I've thought. Many things I've pondered and many things
I've sought. Many things I've tried to hide, and many times I kind of lied. Still so many things to try before we say goodbye. So I'll pour myself another glass of wine. Think about some far-off distant time. A future that could possibly be mine. And scribble on the wall. I used to think that money was worth nothing at all. I used to have to eat those mushrooms.